When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. The Charlotte Conduit, the silence in the walls. Welcome, dear listeners, to Whispers from the Dark. I am your host, Raven Vale, and tonight we journey to a place of sun-drenched summers and blossoming industry. Charlotte, North Carolina. But our story doesn't unfold under the bright Carolina sun. Instead, it pulls us into the shadows of a seemingly ordinary suburban home in the year 2015. A home where a family's hopes for a fresh start turned into an enduring, bone-chilling enigma. The Millers, Mark and Susan, and their bright, imaginative 5-year-old son, Leo, were a picture of quiet American aspiration. They'd purchased an older, charming bungalow in a well-established Charlotte neighborhood, eager to infuse it with their own modern touches. The renovation had been a whirlwind of dust sheets, power tools, and the excited chatter of contractors. It was supposed to be the beginning of something new, a brighter chapter. Instead, it became the threshold to a nightmare. The week of Leo's disappearance was a typical Charlotte summer, hot, humid, with the promise of afternoon thunderstorms. The house was in a state of controlled chaos. Walls were down, revealing the skeletal remains of old lath and plaster. Ductwork, typically hidden, lay exposed, snaking through the ceilings and floors like forgotten metallic serpents. It was amidst this organized disarray that Leo, a child with an insatiable curiosity, spent his days, supervised, of course, by his stay-at-home mother, Susan, or the occasional babysitter. On the morning of July 14th, the day Leo vanished, Susan was overseeing the installation of new kitchen cabinets. Leo was playing in the living room, ostensibly within earshot, engrossed in a world of his own making with a box of new toy trucks. The contractors were busy with the rhythmic whir and thud of their work. A normal day. A noisy day. And then, a moment of silence. Not the good kind, the kind that makes a mother's heart seize. Susan called out Leo's name. No answer. She walked to the living room. His toy trucks were scattered on the rug, a half-finished road drawn in crayon on a piece of cardboard. But Leo was gone. Not out the back door, which was locked. Not in the yard, which was fenced. Not with the contractors who were all accounted for and hadn't seen him leave the living room. He had simply vanished. The immediate search was frantic. Every closet, every nook, every freshly cleared space in the half-renovated house was scoured. Neighbors joined in, then a growing wave of police and volunteers. The initial assumption, as it always is in these horrifying cases, was that he had wandered off, perhaps slipped out during a moment of distraction. But the house was secure, the yard impenetrable for a 5-year-old. The search expanded to the surrounding blocks, then the entire neighborhood. No trace, no witness, just a chilling, echoing emptiness where a vibrant little boy had been moments before. As the police began their painstaking grid search of the house, looking for anything, anything that could provide a clue, the Millers began to recall peculiar occurrences from the days leading up to the disappearance. Small, almost imperceptible things, dismissed at the time as renovation quirks. Susan remembered faint sounds, like a whisper, coming from the old air vents. She'd put it down to drafts, or the way sound carried through newly exposed walls. Mark, too, had heard what he described as a low, almost guttural hum emanating from the ductwork, a sound he'd blamed on the old, inefficient HVAC system. They'd even joked about the ghost in the machine. But now, those fleeting sounds took on a sinister new meaning. The official investigation quickly became a cold case. No forced entry, no signs of struggle, no ransom demands. It was as if Leo had simply ceased to exist within the confines of his own home. But then, weeks later, as the renovation, now stalled and fraught with sorrow, slowly resumed under the reluctant guidance of the Miller's family, and discovery was made that propelled the case from tragic disappearance into the realm of the truly inexplicable. A crew, carefully removing an old section of drywall in a forgotten alcove of the dining room, exposed the rough, aged studs beneath. And stapled directly to one of these studs, hidden for decades, were several sheets of faded, yellowed paper. Drawings. Not childish scribbles, but deliberate, crude, yet disturbingly vivid sketches. They depicted a towering, impossibly thin figure. It possessed no discernible face, only a void where features should have been. And from its mouth, or perhaps its lack thereof, snaked a series of thin, dark lines, like wires, trailing off the paper into an unseen darkness. The figure was shown standing over smaller, more human-like shapes, not capturing them, but seemingly absorbing them. It was the sort of image that burrowed into the mind and refused to leave. The police were called back. The drawings were sent to forensic art analysts, child psychologists. They found no known connection to Leo, no indication he had drawn them. The paper was old, clearly predating the Miller family's occupancy. It was a secret, unsettling message from the house's past. And now, tragically, perhaps its present. What previous inhabitant had created these nightmares and sealed them away? And why? Then came the second, even more terrifying discovery. During a meticulous, almost desperate sweep of the house's infrastructure, an independent investigator hired by the Miller's family suggested checking the old ductwork for any anomalies. Modern audio equipment was fed into the dusty, labyrinthine channels. For hours, nothing but the rustle of dust and the faint echoes of the outside world. And then, a fleeting, almost inaudible moment, a snatch of recorded sound. It was a voice, low, resonant, and utterly devoid of human inflection. It sounded like it was coming from within the very walls, carried on the stale air of the ducts. The words were chillingly clear. Despite their faintness, played and replayed, filtered and amplified until they became undeniably distinct. I'll keep this one. I'll keep this one. Not I've taken him. Not he's mine. But the possessive, almost casual declaration of a collector. A statement that suggested this wasn't the first, and perhaps wouldn't be the last. The implication was horrific. That Leo was not a victim of a crime of passion or a desperate kidnapping, but rather of a sinister acquisition. The police were, predictably, at a loss. The voice couldn't be traced. It lacked the unique identifiers of human speech patterns. The drawings remained an inexplicable, disturbing artifact. There was no evidence of an external perpetrator, no human DNA, no forced entry. The physical house itself offered no further answers, only these cryptic, deeply unsettling clues. The case for the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department remains a cold, dead end. A child vanished, leaving behind only strange drawings and an inhuman voice in the walls. The Miller family, their lives shattered, eventually sold the house, unable to bear the silence and the haunting echoes of the voices and drawings within. The bungalow, once a symbol of new beginnings, became a monument to a terrible, unexplained loss. It sat empty for a time, then was purchased by a young couple, unaware of its chilling history, who promptly ripped out the remaining old ductwork and replaced it with new. But one has to wonder, dear listeners? What else remains in those older homes? What unseen conduits of something ancient and malevolent lie hidden behind the plaster and drywall, waiting to claim what it desires? The image of that tall, wire-mouthed figure persists. What were those wires? Connectors? Tentacles for extraction? And the voice, calm and proprietary, claiming ownership of a human life. Was Leo's curiosity about the open vents his undoing? Did he hear something, see something, that drew him closer to an unseen predator lurking within the very structure of his home? The Charlotte Conduit, as it's been called by those few who whisper about it, speaks to a primal fear. That we are not safe even within our own walls, that the fabric of our homes can conceal unseen portals to something truly terrifying, something that doesn't break down your door, but speaks to you from the vents, something that draws chilling pictures of its own nature, and then simply takes. And the police, with all their human methods, are left with no answers, only the lingering question. What was it, precisely, that kept Leo Miller that summer day in Charlotte, North Carolina? Until next time, when the whispers grow louder, good night.